Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Welcome to Millennial Love, the independent lifestyle desk's weekly podcast on love, dating and relationships, hosted by me, Rachel Hosey, assistant lifestyle editor,
and me, Olivia Petter, lifestyle writer.
Dating today is a world away from what it was even just 10 years ago. With dating apps, millennials are finding it harder to meet people than ever before, and even when we do, who's to say we won't be ghosted? So that's why we decided to launch Millennial Love as two longtime singletons in their 20s, talking candidly about all of the things everyone is doing, but not always willing to admit.
Today, we are so happy to welcome writer and activist Scarlett Curtis. Hi, Scarlett.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming. Later, we're going to be talking about one of Scarlett's campaigns, which aims to tackle the taboo surrounding female masturbation, which is definitely one of those topics Rachel mentioned in the intro that everyone is doing but not always talking about. Or is it?
Ooh.
I don't know. We'll find out. But for those of our listeners who might not be familiar with your work and your campaigns for the Pink Protest, would you mind basically explaining briefly how the Pink Protest came to be and about some of your previous campaigns as well?
Yeah, so I'm Scarlett. It's very good to be here. I'm a big fan of this podcast.
Thank you.
I left school when I was 14 because I wasn't very well, and at 15 I started a knitting blog called Teen Granny. And I thought I was gonna be a professional knitter, and it turned out I wasn't very good at knitting, but I was okay at writing about knitting. So I carried on writing, and I kind of was blogging and writing for different magazines and newspapers my whole teen years. I now write a weekly column for the Sunday Times Style called The Generation Z Hit List. I'm technically Gen Z, not millennial.
Are you really?
Yeah, I don't know if that
you
makes
me... You must
be
right on the cutoff. How old are you?
Yeah, I'm born in 1995, and 1995 is the cutoff. So
I'm just scraped into
Gen Z.
We've got a Gen Z on millennial love, people.
It's very exciting. And then I've been living in New York for the past 4 years, and around the 2016 election, I became very involved with a lot of feminist campaigning. Before that, I'd worked for 2 years for an organization called the Global Goals, which works with the UN to promote their sustainable development goals. So I was doing a lot of that, and I was doing all their social media and campaigns with them. And then around the time of the election, I got very involved with kind of more grassroots feminist activism, and it felt so far off from all the like big NGO, UN things that I've been doing, and it felt so raw and organic and powerful. And so I wanted to do something like that in the UK. So we started the Pink Protest, which I now run with Grace Campbell, who's an amazing comedian, and Alice Skinner, who's an artist. And basically our goal is to create campaigns around young women and for like teen activists who maybe don't have the resources to do it all themselves. So we make a lot of video series, we do a monthly event, we organise the Free Periods campaign for Amica George. We met her and just thought it was amazing and built the website and organised protest. We ended up changing the law. We got 1.5 million going towards period poverty per year from the women's tax, which was amazing.
Wow.
Now we're just kind of doing a much less serious campaign.
But equally important.
Maybe not equally important, but equally... fun and
important,
pleasurable
nonetheless.
Yes,
and it's all a lot of the way that you spread awareness for your campaigns and things, it's all mostly on Instagram, isn't it?
Yeah, so I think we really kind of lead with social media, which a lot of other places, that's kind of their fallback. Like I was only doing social media for the UN because no one thought that it was important, so they gave it to a 19-year-old.
This is what makes me laugh so much. In every internship or workplace I've ever done, they were like, young person, do social media.
Yeah, completely. And then our whole campaign ended up being social, and by the end I was like leading all this terrifying stuff that I had no right to be doing. But yeah, so we really lead with Instagram. We always say that it's kind of digital as the first step to action. So, you know, we didn't Free Periods, it was based on Instagram, but we had to have the protest so that it showed that all this action that's online has, you know, a real life space and people are actually going to show up. So I think we really try and straddle the two, but we're huge fans of social media activism.
So what is the new campaign? We have not said.
So the new campaign is called #girlswank2.
Brilliant.
I don't know if that counts as swearing.
I mean, it's the name of the campaign.
It's the name of the campaign.
It's legit.
I don't think it's swearing.
I don't think it's swearing.
Let's not get into that. I feel like that will just perpetuate more swearing.
Okay. Yeah, and basically, you know, Free Periods was very heavy and it was a lot of meetings with politicians and kind of trying to properly change like legislation and stuff. And we wanted to do something that was a bit more fun. And I think the whole campaign's around trying to remove the taboo and stigma around female masturbation with kind of a focus on the pleasure gap. So a research study that came out last year showed that there's a 52% pleasure gap, which means that men are getting 52% more pleasure than women. And there's just this whole thing around female masturbation where either you don't do it and you're missing out, or you do it and you basically think that you're scum of the earth and evil. And, you know, what it really is saying is that as a society, we value women's pleasure less than men's, and that that isn't something that's valuable and beautiful and great. And so we're just kind of wanting to talk about it.
No, we're good for you, and that's what we're here to do today.
Yay!
We're going to talk the hell out of it. First, though, let's have a debrief.
Dating debrief of things that have been going on in the world of dating. Well, there's been... I should do that every week.
A very sultry voice, might I add.
Oh, thank you, Rachel. There's been a lot of celebrity dating stories going
on.
Most recently, Justin Bieber and Hailey Baldwin are engaged. And I know it's...
Congrats to them.
It's interesting because the way that the media has covered it so far is a lot of people are focusing on Selena Gomez.
Which I hate. It's like Brad and Angelina, everyone's like, how's Jen doing? Yeah.
Exactly. It's like, oh God, poor Selena. She must be absolutely heartbroken. It's like, no, she's not. She's fine. She's on holiday with her mates. She's absolutely fine.
Did you see the post he did about her today?
I did. It sort of made me cringe inside my...
I don't think I've seen it.
Oh. It's very good. It's all very, very religion based.
Yeah, it is. With quite a few typos, might I add.
I'm sorry. Can someone explain what was posted?
So Bieber posted, basically there was loads of speculation that he had proposed to Hailey Baldwin on a trip in the Bahamas. No one knew if it was true. TMZ reported it, that ever reliable source of celebrity gossip. Then eventually Bieber did a post on Instagram, a black and white photograph of him and Hailey all snuggled up. And it was this long message being like, the world's going to be amazing now and I adore you so much. This is what, you know, the world needs to see a proper marriage. It was very, you know, evangelical.
But like literally evangelical. There's a lot of stuff about Jesus.
Yeah, there really was.
It sounds very holier than now just to be like, the world's now going to see a proper marriage. Like,
to be fair, he did say, my brothers and sisters will see a proper marriage. Yeah, and he said, my life, my world is going to be amazing.
Did he mean actual brothers and sisters or in like the holy siblings?
No, his actual
brothers. My brothers and sisters.
The holy siblings.
Brothers and sisters in this world. okay. I mean, how long have they been together?
Well, sorry, I am obsessed with celebrity
gossip.
Please,
you probably know more than me.
I'm an expert here.
Yeah, that's actually why I'm here. they have been friends forever and rumours about them being on and off dating forever. And I basically think what the post was kind of hinting at is that it's all just clicked into place. It's a rom-com. He's looked up. She's been there all along. She's the love of his life. And he put a ring on it.
Well, it's quite sweet. But am I right in thinking that wasn't he with Selena just not that long ago?
That's
not to feed into that
thinking.
Angle, but
going to church three times a day.
Three times a day?
Did you not see that day when they were papped going in and out of church three times?
No.
In one day? Yeah, it was amazing.
I mean, do you think they just had a lot of sins to repent for?
I'm sure Bieber has
maybe
many
female
sins.
Masturbation.
Maybe.
Oh, goodness. Well, here's the thing. I mean, I don't want to sound cynical, but I obviously sound really cynical. But like, so today, it's Wednesday, might I add, and we had the sad news that Caroline Flack, presenter of Love Island, has called off her engagement. I think the engagement hasn't even been that long, only a couple of months maybe. I mean, at the beginning of Love Island this year, and we won't talk too much about Love Island because I know we have loads of listeners around the world and sometimes we get a bit carried away and everyone's like, what even is Love Island? Essentially, at the beginning of the series, she sort of showed off her ring to the girls in the villa and it was all very exciting and she'd done all these interviews about how she was so happy to have finally found the right guy, etc., etc. And they'd only been together a few months and they've called it off.
I know, you know, all
she needs
that's...
to go into the villa.
Yeah, she does. Well, she said that, I think, in a tweet. She was like, back to the villa I go.
I very much feel like, well, what I read was, and you know, obviously we don't know if this is real, and I sort of always feel a bit bad commenting on celebrity relationships, but they'd said that the fiance had
you know, ended it, and she had wanted to keep it quiet for a little bit, but he made it public. But I was sort of thinking, like, she's like meeting so many of these hot singles all the time. I feel like she'll get with one of the ones who comes out.
Oh my God. Who would you go for?
Oh, we've discussed this before.
New Jack.
Jack, yeah.
New Jack.
Oh, no. I'm not sure. New Jack. I know he's quite muggy, but I like Wes.
I'm not a fan.
I mean, I still physically fancy Adam the most. We can't go down this rabbit hole again.
It is a rabbit hole.
We're stopping that, and we're going to move on to our bio of the week.
Yes.
Our favourite bio from the week of swiping. This is from a man called Matt, and his bio reads, "Well, nobody is ever perfectly behaved, are they? I mean, you know, there are times when, I have to confess, when me and my friends sort of used to run through the fields of wheat, the farmers weren't too pleased about that." Now, what? That made me laugh. You're going, what?
Is it a Theresa May reference?
Yeah. And the thing is, I kind of like it because this is in reference to when Theresa May, the British Prime Minister, was asked in an interview what was like the naughtiest thing she'd ever done.
Yeah.
And she responded with this. And needless to say, people relentlessly took the piss out of her for it. And, you know, now no one will ever forget the fields of wheat thing. But I quite like this because I'm pretty sure he's typed out the full quote, the full answer.
Yeah,
when you start reading it, you think, where is this going? And then he goes on to fields of wheat and I'm like, I quite enjoy that.
I just realised that it was the full quote, you know, because I was like, what's with all the fanfare about, well, nobody has ever perfectly behaved? But that's exactly what she said, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so that makes it better.
Doesn't really turn you on though, does it?
I just quite liked it because it was different and it sort of gripped me and I was, where is he going with this? I mean, it did end with like a classic, like, Clapham 6'1".
Can I say
I probably Clapham 6'1"?
6'1". Swipe right, Clapham. No matter what.
Can I just point out that the runner-up to this week's bio of the week was also quite funny?
Yeah, should we sell this one as well?
Yeah.
The runner-up this week, the bio simply read, hummus.
That turns me on.
I quite like that.
Yeah, brilliant.
Oh, could bathe in hummus all day.
Anyway, needless to say, I swiped right on both these boys. So well done on your successful bios. Anyway, let us get on to the main topic of discussion today, which is female masturbation and the taboo surrounding it. So, ladies, where do we think the stigma surrounding female masturbation has come from in the first place?
Scarlett, I think you should lead with this one.
It's a very interesting question. And I think if I knew more about like history and art history, I'd probably have a much more intelligent answer. But I think in general, in society, we aren't comfortable with women having pleasure. Like, you know, historically, sex is something that happens to women and isn't something that women instigate. And there isn't anything more instigated by a woman than a woman having sex on her own. And I think it's not something we're comfortable with. It's not something we accept. It's not something we promote. And I think all of that gets ingrained. And then by the time you get to 2018, I really think women are perpetuating it themselves. So we've had all this internalized. We've had all this told to us over, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years. And at this point, I think probably most men would be fine if we talked about it more. But we monitor each other. You know, we stigmatize each other. We don't talk about it. We think it's shameful at school. We laugh at girls. I mean, no one I knew ever admitted to it. But if someone had, like, I don't think we'd have ever spoken to her again, you know. And so it's become this awful thing that we're now, like, keeping up.
I think you're so right in that so much of it is linked to the way people talk about sex in relation to women. Because when we're growing up, the sort of the main thing we're told is, do not get pregnant, do not have sex, you'll get pregnant.
And die.
And die. And then there's the other idea, which is that if a woman has a lot of sex, she's a slut, or it's a bad thing, she's dirty, it's not, you know, it's looked on negatively. And the other idea is that, you know, if a woman's having sex with a man, it's always like the man begging and the woman sort of, you know, gives in to sort of completely keep the man happy. And that's not always the case at all.
No. I also think on a more kind of technical basis, like, a lot of women don't really know what they're doing. You know, men, it's very obvious. We all have a hand gesture that we learn when we're about three, that we know how to do it. And with women, like, a lot of women have never even had an orgasm if they've, you know, never had a partner that has known what to do. Like, it's a much more mysterious topic. And I think we're all less educated on it. And therefore, it kind of gets swept under the rug.
Totally. I think male masturbation is also just a much more mainstream cultural phenomenon in terms of like pop culture, in terms of films and TV shows. Like, it's always portrayed as kind of like a norm or a joke or just something that is totally standard. Whereas if you look at the portrayal of female masturbation in films and TV shows, like the thing that springs to mind for me is that scene in Black Swan.
Yeah.
You know, where she's on her bed and she's masturbating and it's like seen as this very dark, shameful act. And then she thinks her mother walks in or something and she's like really embarrassed. And that was like a huge Academy Award winning film.
But it's not exactly what you want.
No. And it's the totally wrong portrayal. The only thing I can think of that's like a positive portrayal of maybe female masturbation is like in Sex and the City with Samantha.
Yeah. But even then it's like, oh my God, that's so extreme. And what is that machine? And I don't want anything to do with that. It's terrifying, you know, if you're a teenager. I think whenever I think about it, I always think, just to tell my story,
I started
masturbating as a teenager like so many women do. And I come from a very progressive, very liberal family. I've got three younger brothers and my mum and dad talked to all of them about wanking, you know, and it was something that was kind of very much
so
acknowledged.
Your parents spoke to you about it.
They never really spoke to me. My mum says she did, but I think I was too young and I don't remember it, whatever. So when I did start, I genuinely thought I was evil. Like, I thought it was a sign that there was something wrong with me. I was so ashamed about it. Every night that I did it, which wasn't every night, but when I did it, I was like, never again. Like, that was the last time. Like, it's so gross. If any of my friends found out, it's so disgusting. And I always remember what you're saying about films. There was this one scene in Gossip Girl, which obviously I was obsessed with as a 13-year-old, where, like, the episode began and it vaguely looked like Blair had been touching herself, thinking about Chuck. And I must have watched that about a million times because I was like, someone else does it. Like, it's not just me, it's Blair from Gossip Girl. Like, she's doing it too. Like, I'm not a freak, I'm not weird. Like, I didn't invent this. And like, that's another thing. I think loads of girls think they invented it or they're the only one and it's this weird, you don't even know why you feel bad about it, you just know that it's not meant to happen and it's not right. And
and friends don't talk about it. Like, even though most girls start doing it when they're teenagers, it's just not something you talk about with your friends when you're that young. Like, I mean, now, you know, granted, my best friend has bought me two vibrators. Amazing. But that was, I think she bought me the first one when I was like 20 years old. And it was her way of being like, look, you need to do this because you don't do this. So I'm going to buy you one. And it was like her birthday present to me.
But also it's this amazing like seal where no one talks about it. And then as soon as you do, it's never shameful again. You know, like, I'm now on a podcast talking about it, going from that. And I think the reason we wanted to start this is because so many like awareness-based campaigns, it's really hard to change things and awareness normally doesn't have the impact you want it to have. And with this, like, if anyone listens to this and thinks that no one else does it, that it's already worked. Like, that's all it is. And I think our only ask with the campaign is like, talk about it, you know, talk about it with your friends, talk about it with your mum, talk about it with people that you would have been ashamed about it. And it is so easy to get over. Like, it's so easy.
I think people are embarrassed because they're embarrassed because it's intimate. It's not something we have experience talking about. So obviously when you're going to do it for that first time with people, talking about it, I mean.
Not the sex. Leave it at that, please.
I'll do it all together. Do what you want. Then of course I completely understand you might feel a bit nervous or a bit awkward, but I you know when I was a teenager no one spoke about masturbation. It wasn't until I went to uni, I think, that me and my girlfriend started talking about it. And actually, Livia, I was in a similar position. My friends kept saying they were gonna buy me a vibrator.
Really?
Actually, they never did, because, and this is the kind of the most hilarious thing, so as lifestyle journalists we get sent a lot of things from PRs, and I was sent my first vibrator.
That's amazing.
Because obviously we write about relationships and love and sex and dating and everything. And so there you go. Cheers to that PR.
It's also, it's an expensive one. It's worth is, like yeah.
No, I'm not talking about that one that we got recently. I was, that was my first one.
I was going to say, was that your first one?
No, but I
we did both get given one that was worth have, like 100 quid.
But they don't have to be, can I say, you can buy them in the aisle at Boots. Not even behind the counter.
Oh, get them yeah, boots.
That was my first one. There we are these tiny little purple ones no that you can way. Buy in Boots. And you just like get it with some quavers and some plasters and you're fine. They've got self-checkout now as well.
That's true. We should also say, and this is not a sponsored podcast at all,
sorry.
But there's a brilliant website called Love Honey, which my friends originally recommended to me. Mm. And they have all sorts on there, including the tiny little ones, bigger ones, and... you know, everything arrives in very discreet packaging. Mm. There is no mention of what it is on the box. So if you are sort of, you know, maybe you want to experiment, but you don't want your parents or whoever you live with to know that you've just ordered a vibrator, then that's quite a good place to go.
Completely. We've also got on our pinkprotest.org website, we've got a whole page of, well, one of the things we did for the campaign was we got all these artists to do these amazing pieces of work.
They're amazing.
About female masturbation. So there's an artist gallery there. There's a playlist called Songs to Masturbate To,
if you want to check fantastic. It out.
And but there's also a really good page of resources that has got loads of like female-founded vibrator companies. There's an amazing one called Unbound. There's the website called Oh My God Yes, which is a lot of kind of instructional how-to videos.
Oh, that's great.
Which a lot of people actually use as porn while they're
How
doing it. But yeah, and there's loads of resources. And Brooke as well, isn't, I mean, you guys had Alex from Brooke on it the other day, but someone from Brooke came to our a panel event to talk about it, and they have loads of resources. So
fantastic.
Check awesome. It all out.
Yeah, more people need to know about that. That sounds like a right little, what do you call it? I was going to say a well of information. It's not the right thing, is it? Fountain. I don't know.
And I think it's also, so we had this event called Hashtag Girls Wank Too, which we kind of didn't tell people much what they were getting into. So just loads of girls in a basement being like, what am I about to do? But all it was all our artist gallery and then a panel, which was amazing. But we ended up talking a lot about porn. And I think that's another thing that's really hard to talk about. You know, I have watched porn from a really young age, as loads of people do. But I think for women, it's especially hard because so much porn is so objectifying.
Yeah, it's misogynistic.
And misogynistic and horrible. And there are, I mean, the thing we were talking about is there are a lot of amazing female porn directors, but they are all you have to pay for it. Yeah. And I think actually, if you are someone that watches porn and likes porn, it is worth thinking about paying for it. You know, it's not very much. And all those resources are on our website. But the reason porn is free is because these people aren't treated well. And I think, yeah, it's a really hard topic to talk about in terms of all of this.
Absolutely.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
One thing I would say is, we keep saying women don't talk about it enough, women don't talk about it enough. And I don't know what guys are like when they're just with guys, but it's not like guys are like, oh, well, I'm just off to go and...
Well, a lot of them are.
Actually would say a lot of them are. A lot of my male friends,
they really talk about it.
They just don't talk about it to me.
No, they all talk about it together and they really do talk about it.
Do they?
Yeah, but also joke about it. We'll be like, oh, yeah, he's probably having a wank.
There's a big thing of people on study leave. I think it's a... very popular activity during study leave for teenage boys.
God, it's so funny. I actually just remembered as you were speaking about this, I wrote an article not that long ago about an event that was being hosted at a university in Germany, I think in Berlin. and it was a group of students coming together to do like a female masturbation workshop. Wow. And
yes, I was about to mention that.
Were you? Yeah. So lots of professors complained. Do you remember? Mm-hmm. And it was like this really controversial event and people were trying to shut it down. And it was just, it was like a 2-hour seminar.
It was like a workshop. I think yeah. there was like a sort of a practical aspect and a, what's yeah. the opposite of practical?
A theory?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a driving test. Yeah, exactly. Like a sexy driving test. Yeah. Yeah. But people were really angry about it.
Yeah.
That's yeah. really interesting. Yeah, I think it is. I mean, it's a topic that scares people. Yeah. And I think, you know, it's women taking control of their own bodies and their own pleasure. And someone that was on our panel from Brooke actually said that she likes to call masturbation self-sex. Because it is sex, it's just sex for yourself. And I think that's terrifying to a lot of people because, yeah. like, rather takes men out of the equation.
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I actually found it incredibly refreshing a few weeks ago. I was out with a group of friends and we'd have some food, we'd have some drinks, and it was sort of the end of the night. And one of my girlfriends just went, well, I think I'm going to call it a night, probably go home, get into bed, touch myself and go to bed. It's like, fantastic.
That's amazing. That's amazing.
I just love that you just said that.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, maybe plenty of us were thinking the same thing. But she just said it. And I was like, yes. Yeah. Yes, queen.
I love
good
it.
Good for you. And I think that's the type, I think that's that kind of a brilliant way kind of to help remove the taboo and the stigma or whatever. Just do it in a really breezy way.
Yeah.
It's really
and I
normal.
Think that's the way more men talk about it. You know, it's just like, mm-hmm. it's not like they're talking about it all the time. I don't think many men have masturbation workshops, but it is something that's talked about. And obviously, if you have no shame about it, like this doesn't bother you, but I think a lot of people, like I did when I was younger, do feel like great deals of shame and self-hatred because of it, and that's just self-hatred that doesn't need to be there.
Totally. And it's one of those things that if you speak about it in a way that shows that you're ashamed, people will respond yeah, in a way completely. That is like, oh well, that's something to be ashamed of. Whereas if you just say it like your friend did, it's like, oh okay, well she doesn't care, that's casual, so yeah, that's totally a normal yeah. thing to say.
But would you guys not think, though, like, I know it's considered so much more normal amongst men, but I would think that it's not necessarily something that's super positive. Like, if like you said, a guy might be like, oh, he's off having a wank or whatever, like, that's still meant in quite a negative way.
Yeah. Completely, and I think that more... it, you know, is more of a sign of the shame we have around sex yeah. anyway. And I think yeah. that is also one of the reasons we've gotten into such an awful place as a society with porn, because yeah. That's not something that's really, well, it's talked about, but it's not something that's talked about enough, because people are watching these horrendous porn films from the age of about 11 or younger. And I think in general, that's a kind of bigger conversation, where if we were all less shameful about porn, about sex, we wouldn't have these kind of issues.
No, I completely agree. It's the whole stigma needs to be worn down. But yeah. obviously, we all agree that there's more of a stigma around it for women.
Mm. Yeah. And the pleasure gap as well, like you mentioned earlier. I think it's like 93% of men will orgasm during sex compared to like 39% of women. It's yeah. nothing.
That is shocking, completely. Actually. It's
and,
so shocking.
And that's why female masturbation is important, because it encourages women to explore their sexuality alone, and that is probably going to make them more likely to experience
yeah, and
orgasm.
You're never going to be able to teach your partner what to do if you don't know what to do yourself.
Exactly.
Like, that really is the kind of be all and end of it. Like, we're not, you can't go around blaming anyone if you've never kind of properly had a look around.
Oh no, absolutely. When I lost my virginity, the guy was like, what do you like? And I was like, I don't know. Yeah.
Like, horses?
I was like, hummus? Yeah.
Hummus. Yeah. Grammar. Yeah.
6'1" boys from Clapham. Probably was about maybe 6'2". Irrelevant. That's why it is important, isn't it? Teaches you what feels good to you.
And also I think, you know, the goal isn't to catch up with what men are doing. The goal is kind of do something interesting that is just for women. And how amazing would it be if all women were masturbating and talking about it and watching like ethical porn that wasn't, you know, hurting people? And I think it's like, we can do better, you know. We don't have to kind of follow in the same footsteps.
And I think as well, we should point out that there's no normal. If you do it 5 times a week, that's too much. If you do it once a month, that's not, like, there's no, like, I feel like do it whenever you want to do it.
I actually forget about it loads. Like, you know, when you're like in a bit of a groove and doing it regularly, and then sometimes I'll go like a year and I just completely forget. Mm. And then I'm like, oh, that thing, that's
that.
Nice.
I forgot yeah. about that. It's yeah, great. It's Why great. Do I do that?
Yeah. And then you're like, ah.
I know. It's almost like when you don't eat chocolate for 3 weeks somehow.
Yeah. And then your you brain.
Have it again, and you're like, Christ alive, this is delicious.
Yeah exactly.
Oh, I've forgotten it. So good.
Yeah.
Completely. But I have, there is also an interesting angle. It's something you don't hear about. Is so I interviewed a bunch of guys on this very interesting Reddit community that's, well, there are two actually. There's a community of guys who've given up porn, and there's a community of guys who've given up masturbation. They're different things, but obviously we hear a lot more about guys getting addicted to masturbation than women.
Yeah.
Mm. I don't mean guys getting addicted to women, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And I don't know, are there examples of that? Maybe there are, but again, it's not something we hear about.
Yeah, I just read a really interesting novel called Mrs. Fletcher by a writer called Tom Perrotta, which I guess is written by a man, so I don't know if it's, but it's about a mum whose
son
could
also be a woman just writing under a man's name, because that
maybe.
Does happen.
I think he's quite a famous author, but maybe but there's in it, it's about a mum whose son leaves home and then she becomes addicted to internet porn, and it's very interesting about kind of porn and sex and how it's affecting us and the way that her brain changes like once she's watching porn.
That's really interesting.
That is interesting. I mean, the only thing that springs to mind when you talk about women being addicted to masturbation is, again, Sex and City, when Charlotte gets a rabbit.
Yeah, I love
and
that.
She, and like her friends have to literally come and commandeer her sex toy. And be like, you have not left the house in like 3 days.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Sure. But I mean, it is the type of thing that if you've never used a vibrator or any, a sex toy in any capacity, or you've never masturbated, like, I know some women are very good at, getting their kicks just using their hands. Some of us can't. and then once you get that, have that pleasure for the first time, you're like, Christ, this is just something I didn't know was a thing.
Yeah, completely.
And, it is something that we are all entitled to.
Something that we did at our event, which was really fun, which people listening to this could take part in, is because we're saying like wank is a kind of horrible word, and then female masturbation is very clinical, and everyone was kind of saying the different words that they use, and my favorite was DJ. She was like, I'm DJing.
Oh yeah, what is that? I've seen a film where
but I thought that was quite funny.
I quite like flicking the bean.
I don't like flicking the bean. I think it's really gross.
It's quite funny.
Yeah. Flicking the bean sounds a bit aggressive to me.
Yeah,
it feels like
also, what if you didn't know what to do and then you just started flicking, and then that could be some real damage. But if you have a better name,
yeah, are there any better names?
I quite like DJ. I'm going to go with DJ.
Do we need a new word that is just solely for the act of women masturbating?
Yeah.
I don't know, because men don't particularly have... Wanking is not a good word either.
No, where did that come from?
And I think it's just not a very nice word, which I think feeds into this idea that it's something dirty or shameful.
Yeah,
totally.
Completely. And also we use it as an insult. Like, kind of worse thing. We need to pick something... I don't know.
Absolutely.
If you've got any suggestions.
Mm. Yeah, send them in.
Yeah, please let us know. We want some better words. All right, guys, wrap up our main discussion point. Okay, Scarlett, I'm going to ask you, what are your main tips? What do you think people need to do or should be doing to sort of both feel better themselves about masturbating, and also what can we all do to help sort of combat the stigma and the taboo?
I think, for yourself, like, just know that everything's okay. Like, whatever you want to do with your own body is completely fine, as long as you're not hurting yourself. But, if you don't want to do it, don't do it. If you want to do it, be proud of it. Like, don't think that there's anything wrong with you, because millions and millions of women are also doing it. And then I think just talk about with your friends. Like, so much activism is really hard, and it is to do with going to protests and signing petitions, and this all it literally takes is next time you're at brunch being like, so guys, I bought a new vibrator the other day, and I promise you, because I never thought I'd talk about this with my friends ever, and now I'm running a campaign on it, as soon as you bring it up, people will be fine with it. Like, no one's gonna laugh at you, no one's gonna be mean, no one's gonna be rude, and chances are most of your friends already do it, and if they don't, you will be their favorite friend of all time, because you have introduced them to something great.
I love it whenever I'm with my girlfriends and we talk about stuff that we just never spoken about before. Like, for example, one dinner party recently, we all started talking about our upper lip hair and the different things we do, like
bleach, thread, wax. And we were like, we all do this.
It gives you a real buzz. Like, it just makes you feel amazing. I remember the first time I talked about watching porn with a friend. And, like, before, it was, like, 20 and had never talked about people and, like, thought it was so shameful and gross. And me and my friends talked about it. And it was amazing. I was like, I want to be friends with you forever. Like, I feel so, like, unashamed. And it's a great thing you can do.
Completely.
It's very refreshing.
Yeah, it's empowering as well. Yeah. Just like the solidarity of it all. Like, we're all doing the same things. We're all having the same anxieties. You know, we're all going through it together. So we may as well talk about it.
And I think we don't realise how toxic shame can be. Like, I think shame is the most evil emotion. And I've had so much shame throughout my life. And it's just horrid. And you don't have to live with that. And it's also the only thing we can combat ourselves. Like, you know, I don't know. I was really physically ill for a while. I've been really mentally ill, and none of that is fixable. But shame about all those things is genuinely fixable. And so all you have to do is talk about it.
So right. And I would also just like to sort of finish on saying that also, it's totally okay if you don't really have any desire to masturbate at all.
Yeah, don't do it.
That's okay too.
You're saving time.
Yeah.
Learn to play the piano.
Yeah, or just like...
Or actually learn to DJ.
Yeah, actually DJ. Yeah. Fantastic. Excellent tips all around. Guys, let's do a dating disaster.
Thank you very much for sending this in. I will begin the story. Until a year ago, I was single for 3 years. I really enjoyed it, and unlike most, I loved Tinder dating. After winter fling ended in tears, I matched with someone on Tinder who caught my eye. Despite being a male model and a personal trainer, most men on Tinder in Dublin are personal trainers, in inverted commas, FYI, I decided to give him a chance because, admittedly, I was shallow and he was hot.
We met on a Friday after work, brackets, my work, he was, in quote marks, in between shoots, at a local casual tapas bar. Being a Friday, I ordered myself a glass of wine. He told me he was off the drink. I ordered a few bits to share. He ordered the steak, well done, and nothing else because he was on a diet. I knew at this point he was not the man for me. The date consisted of him bad-mouthing his exes to me. An ex-wife was thrown into the mix too. The last girl he was with, he told me, was lovely and carefree. He thought he saw real potential until he saw her naked. She had fake boobs.
I want to note that at this point, I had had a breast augmentation when I was 23. It was something I always wanted to do, and I'm very happy with my modest 32C. I didn't make a comment at this point and let him proceed to tell me how fake boobs are cheap and nasty. They were invented for porn stars and strippers, and any girl that has them either has daddy issues or no real job prospects. By now, I was silently fuming. I know plenty of women, myself included, who have fake boobs and are thriving in their ambitious jobs. Who had them done to boost their self-esteem or, for medical reasons, were left with little option. He continued for a solid 5 minutes while I was fuming into my patatas bravas.
There was no way I was going to let this chap get away with bad-mouthing women like that. So, for feminism and all that, I turned on the waterworks. I actually started fake crying at the table. I told him that 4 years ago I was diagnosed with breast cancer, brackets, not true. I told him that I had to get a double mastectomy, not true. And as a result, I had to have full reconstructive surgery, also not true. I wanted to put him back in his box, and it worked. He didn't touch another piece of his cremated steak, and we got the bill. Safe to say, I never saw him again. That was until I found out he's actually a mascot for a rugby team in Ireland. Hashtag male model.
That's amazing.
I mean, it's a very funny story. And I have so many reactions to that. I mean, also, I think it's hilarious the fact that he, you know, said he's a personal trainer and male model. And Livia and I were actually just discussing earlier how so many guys just make up the professions on their dating apps. So maybe women do it too, I don't know, but they all say they're an entrepreneur or something, and really they're just unemployed.
Yeah, they do actually. I was talking to a guy the other day whose job description was good at lovemaking.
Oh god.
Yeah. I think this is actually a really interesting story because it brings up the topic of plastic surgery.
Very topical.
Very topical. Not to bring it back to Love Island, but in Love Island, there's this girl called Megan who has had a lot of plastic surgery, as we now know, because someone has obviously sold an old photograph of her to the press and you can see what she looked like before.
She does look like a different person.
She does look like a different person. But equally, I think it's very wrong to shame someone for getting plastic surgery if that's something that they want to do and they have the money to do it. who cares? You know, yes, it's unfortunate that some women feel like they have to conform to certain beauty ideals and spend thousands of pounds to do that. But who the hell are we to judge?
Well, this is kind of my thing as well. Like, I totally can see why this woman did what she did. But I sort of feel like maybe a better way to go about it would have been not to pretend she'd had breast cancer, but just kind of say what you just said.
Yeah, and I wish she'd just said, I had a boob job and I love it and it's fine. I think it kind of ties to the female masturbation thing. Like, do it or don't do it. Like, there's women should just be allowed to do whatever they want with their bodies. Mm. And plastic surgery is one of them and it's fun. And if you can afford it, do it. Like,
also, it's hilarious because this guy thought he knew, like, fake boobs were so awful, and he was looking across at someone who had them, and he clearly couldn't even realize.
Exactly.
But also, even if he could, like, it just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I hate things like that.
I know, it's really frustrating. It's like, just let women do what they want. Don't judge.
He sounds like an awful human, to be honest.
Also, like, if you really hate Meghan's plastic surgery, like, work to change the beauty standards. Don't work to, like, shame her for not getting it done. You know, work to get more real bodies represented on TV or in magazines. Like, stop, you know, using the magazines to shame this woman for doing something that's very natural and
the
fine.
The comments and the memes about Meghan are just so cruel.
It's horrid.
I don't want to get into a massive debate about this now because that's not what we're meant to be doing, but I do kind of see the point that some people have argued that, like, I don't want to sound woman bashing by any means, but I do kind of think I'm just worried about the effect of on particularly younger viewers watching Love Island, who see that she is clearly the most popular with the men, and that I don't want younger viewers to think like, oh, I'm not good enough as I am. I need to change my body to be attractive.
Again, like, discover feminism. Like, the you know, the reason the men are attracted to that is because of beauty standards, and like, it's all, you know, that show it's great and it's fun, and I'm absolutely addicted to it and I watch it every day, but it's by no means representative of the real world or the real world or real women or real men. You know, the way that they're just look at Josh and Kaz's date in the field yesterday. Like, they're overproduced, like 10 different angles, soft lighting. Like, think of that as the whole show. Like, this is not the real world. If you want the real world, like, you know, go watch, I think,
it's
a good show.
First Dates
is really good. It's great. I think
But
I mean, it's produced, you know, obviously it's a reality show, but I think it's quite representative. They have people of all ages, disabilities. It's really, they do that quite well.
Or just don't watch anything, just hang out with your friends and talk about your own dating lives.
Yeah, read,
or
some just glorious
listen to Millennial
animal.
Love.
Listen to Millennial Love and all your problems will be solved.
We're keeping it real, guys. You know. Like, I can tell you, guys don't just like skinny girls with big boobs. Take it from me as a non-skinny girl with small boobs. On that note, probably time to wrap up. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. We hope you have enjoyed this episode of Millennial Love, because we've had an absolute blast. And if you have enjoyed it, we would be so, so grateful if you would subscribe if you have not already. Also, rate us, review us. Every single one counts, and really does help other people discover the podcast and is really wonderful for us to receive.
And please keep sending your dating disasters and dilemmas. We haven't done a dilemma in a while. We'll do a dilemma where we solve the problems because we're so wise. You can email them to us at millennial.love@independent.co.uk, or you can DM us on Instagram at millennial_love.
You can also join our Facebook group, which is facebook.com/groups/millennial.love. Thank you so much, Scarlett. You have been a delight.
Thank you for having me.
Can you remind everyone where they can find you, where they can find the Pink Protest, all the info?
Yes. So you can read my column every week in Sunday Times Style. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Scar Curtis. And then our group is called The Pink Protest. We've got Twitter at Pink Protest, Instagram at Pink Protest, Instagram. We do a weekly thing called On Wednesdays We Wear Pink and Protest, where we put an action every week. So if you're looking to do a bit more in your life, it only takes 5 minutes every week and it's something different every week, which is really fun. And yeah, go to our website, pinkprotest.org, and under the under the Girls Wank 2 page, you can find our artist gallery and resources about wanking and porn.
Fantastic! I think everyone's going to go check that out. I know I am. I haven't learned it already. Have a lovely week, everyone.
We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that?
Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.